Welcome to the Gigabyte Podcast. I'm Mayor Tracy Markley, and I'm so excited to share my conversations with community members and local business owners. So grab a bite and let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Thanks to everyone watching on YouTube and those that are listening from anywhere podcasts are available. We are so glad you've joined us. Today, I'm welcoming Pam Leisure, Executive Director of Fish Food Bank here in Gig Harbor. Welcome, Pam. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Tracy.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and your background and how you became to be the Executive Director of Fish.
Well, what brought me to the Pacific Northwest was a change in career from the real estate business in Northern California to full-time nonprofit work as the Executive Director of the Red Cross in Bremerton, which covered the entire West Sound. So fell head over heels in love with this area and decided to make a career change and picked the Pacific Northwest to do it in.
That's amazing. That's quite a change from Northern California real estate to nonprofit.
It was.
Yeah.
I was extremely involved in the nonprofit sector in my work back in Northern California. And one day, some personal circumstances happened with me and my husband, and he needed to make some decisions about a company that we owned because he'd had an illness that affected his ability to continue to run the company. And so we did. And around the kitchen table, we said, what's our heart's desire? And his was football, hunting, and fishing. And mine was working in the nonprofit sector. So we visited up here when a job offer came through, fell head over heels in love, and here we are today with absolutely no regrets.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Can you tell us a little bit about the programs that you offer and maybe describe the Gig Harbor Food Project? Because I have people asking me, where do you get those green bags? Yeah. How do I give the food?
Yeah, the Green Bag Project, it's actually relatively new. But let me first say a word about the different projects that we do at Gig Harbor Peninsula Fish.
Yes, I shortened the name. I apologize. So thank you for giving the full name.
That's all right. And our name is actually really long. It's Gig Harbor Peninsula Fish Food Bank and Community Services, because we're more than a food bank.
Yes, you are.
But we're primarily a food bank, and that's what people have known us for. So some 46 years ago, a group of women got together, organized by our founder, Jan Cohen, because she discovered a need in the community for food. So from literally a closet of food to our brand new 10,000 plus square foot building up on Burnham Avenue, we have now a $7.5 million facility to meet the growing needs, unfortunately, of the greater Gig Harbor area. All of Gig Harbor, and then the Key Peninsula, and a portion of southern Kitsap County. So that's our geographical, our primary geographical reach. Although nobody who comes to our food bank leaves without food, no matter where they're from, if they have a need.
I love that about you guys.
So our mission is neighbors helping neighbors who are in need with food and other assistance on their way to self-sufficiency.
Yeah, and so talk about a little bit more about those other services, because I think people do want to know about that. And maybe it's a little bit less known than the food and clothing that you provide.
Yeah, we don't want it to be a best-kept secret.
Yeah.
So, again, we're primarily a food bank, and we invite anyone within the community to come by and visit our facility at 4303 Burnham Drive here in Gig Harbor. And it's like a grocery store. And we have a warehouse part of the grocery store that keeps our stock or our shelves stocked and full of the grocery items and other items like hygiene needs and that type of thing. But we also have on site a clothing department and we have really wonderful clothes that come in by donation and are sorted and managed by some brilliant women volunteers. And it's like walking into a boutique, literally, where men, women, and children can help themselves to needed clothes items. Mm. So someone who comes to our food bank who's in need can, number one, get the necessary food that they need to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And then they can help themselves to our clothing department if they have a need there too. You know, last week we had a child come through. Mm-hmm. And this is really touching because she got all excited when she got to the clothing department. And she looked up to our volunteer that was helping her and she said, "Oh, thank you so much. I've never had such beautiful clothes."
Aww.
And it was just heart-rending to hear that story.
Yeah.
Another story I'll never forget is a young woman who had made a difficult decision to leave an abusive situation in the middle of the night, and she was out on her own. And the next day, her best friend brought her in because she literally left with the clothes on her back, and they weren't daytime clothes.
Mm.
And so she came in, and she not only got some food to help support the family that was going to let her stay there for a few days, but she came to the clothing department, and our volunteers, our women, dressed her up because she had a job interview the next day.
Oh, wow.
She had nothing, literally, to wear. And she came back a week later, and she said, thank you, number one, you didn't make me feel terrible.
Mm.
I was handled with dignity and respect, and I left with feeling like I was ready for my interview, and I got the job.
Oh, that's amazing.
So now she's on her own, making steps toward her own self-sufficiency. And we hear stories like that all the time. So that's where some of the and other services come in.
Yeah.
But there's more.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a financial aid program. Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes to the food bank and they're having difficulty making decisions, not just about putting food on the table, but perhaps buying medicine or paying their utility bill and having to make really hard decisions like that, especially this past winter on those cold days. So the financial aid volunteers work with these clients, and we could step up and help them with, say, a utility bill, purchasing medicine. It might be something to do with work. It might be transportation to get to work.
Yeah.
So a lot of things that so many of us take for granted because we're okay right now. But a lot of our folks who live here are just one crisis away from not being able to handle all their expenses and live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. You guys do so much.
Oh, let me tell you about the green bags.
Yeah.
Because you asked about the green bags. So the green bags is relatively new. A few months back, a terrific woman named Elise came to us with this idea. And she used to live in a small town outside of Ashland, Oregon, and their food bank needed food. And so she thought up this idea. She implemented it down there. It was tremendously successful. She brought it up to us and said, "Hey, you want to do this?" And she explained it to us, and we said, "You bet."
Yeah.
And so here's the little green bag story. People can help get food on the shelves at the food bank. Again, neighbors helping neighbors. So within neighborhoods, people get delivered to their home a little green bag. They can actually pick them up at the food bank. But even better, it's organized by community, by neighborhood community. And a community coordinator who's a volunteer will gather little green bags, pass them out in their neighborhood, and every other month, on a designated Saturday, they put out their little green bag on the porch full of groceries. The neighborhood coordinator picks that bag up, brings it, and delivers it to the food bank on that Saturday.
Nice.
And then we receive on that Saturday literally hundreds of little green bags. Now, when they pick up that bag, the little green bag off the porch, guess what? They leave an empty one. For the next
that's
time.
Nice. That's
so
nice.
It's a very simple progress.
Yeah.
And the organization is fairly simple too. So if anybody wants to become a neighborhood coordinator, pass out some green bags, collect them every other month on one Saturday mm-hmm. and deliver them to the food bank, it makes a tremendous difference in our ability to keep our shelves stocked.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the very first Saturday, we got almost a ton of food from the food drive. So our next collection is this month because it's every odd month.
Odd month.
So thanks to Elise and her brilliant idea, and already the word is spreading like wildfire, and the many coordinators who've stepped up here in the greater Gig Harbor area, we're starting to see that little green bag called Gig Harbor Food Project really take a great start right here in our area. On our website, ghpfish.org, there's a very short video that explains it and a link to Gig Harbor Food Project video, gigharborfoodproject.org, and there's a video there too, and much more information where people can sign up.
That's so great. I love that.
It's wonderful.
I just love it. And it makes it easy for people that want to give, but they don't, maybe they've got four kids and they can't get them all to the food bank to drop off the food. And this is just a way to put that food out there on the porch and get it to those in need.
Precisely. Exactly.
So you've already kind of given some information about how people can best find you. And you gave your address, and we'll have it also in the description under the video, your contact information. But just what is the very best way? If someone watching wants to volunteer, who would they call? And if somebody, or where would they go? And if someone has a need and is in need of clothing or food or services, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Sure. To get immediate information, the best thing to do is go to the website if you have the ability to do that. And again, it's ghpfish.org.
Okay.
And there's buttons on the website on the very front page that say, I want to donate, I need help, etc. And so click on that button, it'll get you to specific information.
Great.
And the phone number's there too, so you can call. Now we're open Mondays, Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays. We're closed on Tuesdays and holidays, federal holidays.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. And on Mondays we close at 3, and on Fridays we close at 3. But otherwise we're open 9:30 to 5:30 p.m. on those other days of the week. So you can stop by. If you come, bring your driver's license and other information. Because although anyone coming to the food bank can get food, with say without ID, we're not going to let anybody go out of our food bank and be hungry. But some of our other services will require some verification of who you are.
And I've seen you all in action out in the community and been to some of your events. You have a phenomenal volunteer base. Can you talk a little bit about what types of, what, I mean, I've seen from little tiny kids all the way up to people that are living in assisted living, retirement facilities, all ages I've seen out there just working and serving food and serving meals. And it's exciting what you guys have built over there.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy. I'll tell you, when I first heard of GHP Fish Food Bank and Community Services, it was about 2.5 years ago when I came on board to help with the capital campaign.
Yeah.
That was my primary role,
yeah,
working with the food bank. And when I was being educated about the food bank, I learned that about 46 years ago, volunteers got involved and founded the food bank under Jan Cohen's leadership. And for all of those years, it has functioned by volunteers, not one paid staff.
Wow.
Only 2 years ago did we hire a part-time warehouse manager. His name is Bill, and he's phenomenal. And it was just, it was during COVID, prompted by COVID, and when just before we moved into our new building, about a year before we moved into our new building. And so we've retained that position, and it works well with our volunteers. Here's the thing. Over 200 volunteers run the Gig Harbor Fish Food Organization on a daily basis from bottom to top.
It's
governed by a volunteer-led board of governors. Mm-hmm. All of the decisions that are made are professional positions, mm-hmm. or volunteer. Wow. Our financial person is a volunteer. Wow. She's the treasurer on our board. We have our volunteer coordinator has excellent HR backgrounds and leadership backgrounds. We have folks who are in charge of fundraising and grant writing that stepped to the plate and got themselves educated. Every function of our organization has been led by volunteers all these years.
That's amazing.
Even to the extent of being able to raise $8 million
yeah.
to fund our $7.5 million facility
yeah.
and seed a $500,000 endowment campaign
yeah.
so that we can maintain the operations and the facilities really for decades to come and accommodate the changing needs of mm-hmm. our community mm-hmm. along the way. So all of that to say, it's amazing because all these volunteers of every age get involved.
Yeah.
But also we never could have done it without the gracious and extremely generous support of the Gig Harbor community, all the individuals,
yeah.
the governments,
yeah.
like the city of Gig Harbor, who have been a tremendous partner, especially in helping us get our new building up. And the state of Washington had a role
mm-hmm.
With
mm-hmm.
some grant funds that helped us build our building. But the individuals and the businesses around our area are extremely generous, and we really can't say thank you loud enough or often enough to all of you and all of the folks out there in the Gig Harbor community.
We have a pretty phenomenal community, I have to say. They're amazing, and you guys are amazing. Is there anything else you'd like people to know about you personally or fish in general?
Well, I think one thing maybe that I'd like to mm-hmm. leave for the viewers mm-hmm. To hear, and that is that I've been doing this work for just about 30 years now in the nonprofit sector. And I've had some phenomenal organizations that I've worked with, the American Red Cross at the local, regional, and national level, Harrison Hospital Foundation up in the Bremerton area, now St. Michael's up mm-hmm. there, the Bellarmine Preparatory School in Tacoma,
yeah.
had the honor and pleasure of working with, and many, many others, Alzheimer's Association of Washington State. And then in the most recent years, I've done consulting work with a lot of different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you unequivocally that my time and what I look forward to with Gig Harbor Fish has been one of the most phenomenal experiences in my career. And it's the only organization that I've worked with that was 100% volunteer in a capital campaign
yeah.
of significant size.
Yeah.
And so I got to know people exceedingly well. And I'll tell you, it's been impressive. I would love to write a book about it.
Oh, you should someday. You should.
It has been a tremendous honor and opportunity. And I'm the first executive director that they've ever
yes.
hired. So
yes.
I'm part-time and I walk side by side, right along with all of our leadership volunteers and our board of directors. And we're figuring it out mm-hmm. along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm honored to bring my skill set and experience to fish as we move forward, preparing for the future
yeah.
and do some succession planning and
yeah.
some strategic planning. Because we have a significant role in the community,
yeah,
and we want to do.
Do
the best along the way, serving our folks.
We are so fortunate to have you and have fish in our community. Thank you for all that you do. You are a tremendous blessing to so many people, and we couldn't be more grateful that you're in Gig Harbor.
Yeah, so well, I will pass that along, Mayor. Thank you so much.
Please do. Thank you so much for joining me today. I so enjoyed our conversation. And thank you all for listening. And now stay tuned for our local business spotlight. Welcome back to the Gigabyte Podcast. Each episode, we feature a local business, hear their story, and how you can best support them. And today, I'm happy to have Nate Graves, owner of In Gear Media, which is the studio we are in recording today and have been recording in the last five episodes at least. Thank you for joining me.
Welcome. Thank you for having us. Super excited to be on this side of the camera now.
Yeah, I bet it's a little bit different.
Yes, it definitely is.
Well, tell us a little about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so I'm Nate. I started In Gear Media back in 2019 officially, but kind of started in a college dorm back in 2018. And really what we are is we're a branding agency for small to medium-sized businesses to help them kind of take all the different messages that they hear and the messages that they put out and then concentrate it all so it actually has an impact for their target audience and they can kind of get customers or clients that resonate with who they are, what their personality is, and all that good stuff.
That's great. That's great. So what makes you guys stand out?
Yeah, so I think what makes us stand out a little bit compared to most marketing agencies, branding agencies, or creative agencies is we kind of try to loop it all into one. Mm-hmm. When it comes to a marketing strategy or building a brand, you really need lots of layers to it, right? It's not just a Google ad and then you're set for the rest of the year. It's your social media, it's your advertising, it's your website, it's your customer experience when they come in. What do they see? What do they feel? And we kind of help businesses navigate that. So rather than saying, hey, we're only going to produce your video, go find someone else for the rest. We're like, we're going to walk you through this whole journey and make sure that it all stays coherent rather than it turns into a bit of a game of telephone if you keep going between different people or different companies. And then with that, we pair it. We have in-house content creation. We have graphic designers, photographers, videographers. People who specialize in just messaging, just to really help businesses have all the resources at one spot.
That's really great and very needed.
Yes.
Because I think people, sometimes they're so overwhelmed when they start a business and especially with the branding, the logo, how am I going to set up my socials? How am I going to, how will people recognize me? Whatever they see me, wherever 100%. They see me at, whatever they see me doing, how is it going to, what will make it be where someone looks at that and goes, "That I know exactly what business that is."
Exactly.
So that's cool that you guys help them do that.
Yeah, and a lot of it moves away from that, you know, Canva templates, because you know I think as a when you're starting a business, it's really easy to get caught in the for $59.99 you can buy these templates and you're set for the next 5 years. When in reality, you then you know look over your shoulder and there's four other people with the same things.
Yes, I have experienced that myself.
Really?
Actually,
yep.
It was, and it's a little embarrassing when you find someone's website that pretty much looks exactly like yours.
100%.
Except the wording is a little different and the pictures are different.
Yeah. But, and so, that's where we really want to help just small and medium-sized businesses stand out and get off on the right foot.
Well, and so tell us how a business can do, what they can do now to begin building that brand. Like, let's say they, maybe they're not ready for you quite yet, but they're almost there. But how could they get started?
Yeah. Well, for a lot of small to medium-sized businesses, it really just starts with consistency. So even if it's, you know, committing to monthly social media posts where you know, go out, spend some time, take a photo or video and just post something talking about what it is you're doing, building that consistency with your audience is key for them to really kind of start expecting something from you and building that relationship. And then just being transparent with customers. We find a lot of businesses get caught up in the, you know, say this, do that, but going through the customer experience, making your message line up with what you actually do is a recipe for success.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So obviously I know where to find you because I'm sitting in your studio now, but can you tell our listeners watching on all our podcast platforms and YouTube, where are you located and how? What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah.
Phone, email, and we'll have your information also in the description.
Awesome. So we're based here in Gig Harbor, which is really exciting for us because a lot of people who do what we do are up in Seattle or I think there's one in Tacoma. But we're based here in the harbor right off Wallachat exit pretty much. And then to get a hold of us, just you know, reach out on Instagram or YouTube or check out our website, which will be in the description. And yeah, we're all here.
Is there anything else you want people to know about you or your business?
Outside of just, you know, we're always here to help and start conversations, and it's not, you know, crazy expensive marketing production dollars or anything, but we're just a resource for everybody in the community.
And they're a lot of fun.
Yes, we pride ourselves on that.
Always have so much fun with you and your crew. You guys do an amazing job. And we're so grateful to be able to partner with you in doing this podcast. So thanks so much for joining me.
Yes,
I love learning a little bit more about you guys. And thank you all for tuning in. I hope you'll join us again next time.